Hey, what's up? This is Brendan from the Lawrence Arms, and you are listening to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast.
It sucks, I still think Mabel, she's the bomb.
I'm starting off today's show differently.
Oh, apparently you are.
You can't edit that out. So I've been listening to a lot of the Dax Shepard podcast. He has a new podcast called Armchair Expert. For those of you that don't know, he's an actor and he's hilarious. And he's married to Kristen Bell. And he's got this new podcast that he does. And I really pay attention to people's, how they do their podcasts, just like you do, so that we can try and, you know, learn from them. And so, like, he starts every podcast with just, like, blabbing. He doesn't even intro the show. And I was like, I'm going to try that.
Oh, that's funny.
Did it work?
Well, we're in it, so it worked.
It feels natural. So yeah, this is the Mabel Syndrome Podcast, and if you're listening to us,
so then you go back and do the intro. So
if you're listening to us,
like a minute later,
I guess so. If you're listening to us, this probably isn't your first episode. I don't know. Like, if you stumbled upon us and this is your first episode, I highly suggest you go back.
Hey, they may have
really
So if someone was new to the Mabel Syndrome podcast and was like, tell me what to listen to, what would you say?
Okay, so if it's going to be professionalism / quality interview, I would say Trevor Keith part 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. If I was going to say get a feel for who me and you are, I would say one of the 350 Fest episodes, The Bomb Pops, which is our very first episode. Or the first one we did alone, maybe, where we talked about, like, waxing vaginas and
oh my god, yeah.
Because I feel like that's to the core, that's who we are. We're just a little bit better at it now.
Right.
So
we haven't talked about
vaginas,
waxing lady parts in a long time.
I can't afford to do it anymore. I'm a single mom. I can't afford to pay to get that shit done. I gotta take care of that myself now.
I know. Yeah. Although don't do it at home. Don't do waxing at home. I told you I had a bad experience with that.
Yes.
I'm still scraping the wax off of my bathroom floor.
I thought you were gonna say off your vagina. I'm glad it's on your floor and not your vagina. I was going to say, wow, you need to go to the doctor.
It's still there.
So yeah, I can't afford to pay to get waxing done. So that's why we don't talk about it anymore. Because it was like $80 every time I got it done. And I can't afford it. So now I'm having to, like, ladyscape at home.
Right, right.
But every time I do, I think about how I miss going to get waxed.
Yeah. We have these, like, this chain of places here now called European Wax Center.
Ooh.
Which is like,
sounds like the Costco of vagina waxing.
It's a lady waxing place. And they use black wax. Which,
ew,
I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
But it's like, it looks like charcoal or something. It's black. But it's amazing. It doesn't hurt because it doesn't stick to your skin somehow.
Oh.
And so it literally just pulls the hair and it hurts, like, so much less, like half as much, I would say.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Huh. It's awesome. And I told my sister, I was like, oh, I went to this place and it didn't hurt at all. And she's like, did they use black wax? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, yeah, that stuff's amazing. Like everybody knows this or something.
Oh, God.
I don't know. So our lady listeners, if, you know, go try to find that shit because it's nice.
Apparently it's good.
Yeah.
We have a guest.
That's our waxing segment.
That's our waxing segment. our biannual vagina waxing conversation.
But also on the women, like talking about women front, I was scanning through like our like Instagram stories that people are posting, and Bad Cop Bad Cop was doing a show I think last night, and they had some new merch hanging up, and they had a like the most amazing woman's t-shirt that was a deep V-neck.
Ooh.
And I love like a good V-neck.
Me too.
You know, that shows like a little skin.
It's like wearing a boy's t-shirt, but cleavage can show.
Exactly.
Perfect combo.
Yeah, because usually it's boys' shirts that are like way up to our neck and we're like trying to squeeze our boobs into them.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have a V-neck, like it gives room to the ladies and you can feel a little more feminine in it or whatever. And I was like, I'm just so sick of bands having dude merch and not having girls merch.
Yeah, I feel ya. Which leads to our guest today, because she is a contest winner for designing, for her designs being used for some band merch. And
and bands just reach out to her even without or maybe that's how she started, but bands now just reach out to her and ask her to design merch for them.
And she's talented, she's smart, she's funny, she's a mom, she's the same age as us. We stumbled upon her via the Face to Face fan club, and she started following us on social media, and now we're super happy that she's kind of part of our Mabel Syndrome crew, because like we've been connecting with her. Her name's Elena, by the way, Elena. But we've been connecting with her via social media for a while now. And then this was the first time we got to chat with her over Skype. And it was like we already knew her.
Yeah, for sure. She was so easy to talk to. And like, yeah, I've been like messaging with her for a long time and never had a chance to really talk with her. But like, she was so smart and easy to talk to. And it was really enjoyable.
I hope she wants to stick with us and contribute and be part of Mabel Syndrome.
I know.
That would be great.
Should we ask her to design something for us? If we had money, if we had money, we would so hire her to design something for us.
We could promote the shit out of her, but maybe, if she could design something for us, that would be cool. We have somebody who helped out all of our original design, and Billy Skelly is like the most amazing supporter of Mabel Syndrome, but we haven't had something new for 2 years. So maybe Elena would reach out, and Elena would be like the first, she would be a lady designer for Mabel Syndrome.
That would be so cool. Plus we need to do a shirt thing. Like so many people have contacted me about getting shirts. And so there's this kind of like crowdfunding shirt situation that I wanted to talk to you about too, where it's like, you know, you can set up a goal and like people kind of pay up front, or it's basically, it's like crowdfunding. So like people say, yes, I will buy a shirt. And then they don't get the shirt unless we sell 10.
Unless whatever it's, right.
Unless it's like successful.
I feel like we can definitely set our own
goal. Do you think we could sell 10?
Oh my God. Okay. So there's like what?
I don't know.
There's like 4 Mabel Syndrome t-shirts in existence. And Chris wears his to all these like concerts he goes to.
He wore his the other night.
Mine is so small. Like,
I know.
So small. Like, I feel like probably my daughter could wear it. She wears all my good stuff.
Oh, you should take a picture of her in it.
Oh, I will do that. I will do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we want to get a t-shirt going. Maybe Elena will jump in for
maybe
that.
Maybe we do a new design for that instead of our, you know.
That would be really cool.
Okay.
Okay.
So, done.
Done.
Done on our
done
end.
Done on our end.
But actually, we should... Her design company is YYZ Design Company. They're on Facebook and Instagram. And so, check out her work because she's amazing. And this interview with her was like so easy to do and so fun, and I just love her.
Yeah, we really want to promote her and get her out there. And if any bands out there that listen to us, or like if you have any need for a designer like this, we're highly promoting her because she's awesome. And she's
she kind of like She told it broke the news that she just was hired by the Last Gang to
yes!
do some merch for them.
We love Last so Gang and we love Elena.
Yeah, bands should contact her for real and mm-hmm. get her to do stuff for them.
Yeah. Did she pick the song for the end of the interview?
She did. I think, did she pick an Against Me song?
She did, yeah. It's talked about okay. in the interview because yes. She talked about how Against Me is like her dream band to work with. Mm-hmm. And so we let her pick the Against Me song for the end of the interview. So mm-hmm.
Well, and Against Me are huge Mabel Syndrome followers and listeners.
Totally.
So when you're listening to this, Laura, be sure to contact Elena and get her to design something for you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so great. Are we going to jump to the interview?
Yeah, with no further ado, here is our interview with Elena. YYZ Design Company is her company, and you should check it out. And you should also make sure that you follow us on Instagram and Facebook and on iTunes. Subscribe and give us 5 stars. And at the end, we will play an Against Me song. I forget exactly which one she picked.
Me too, but it'll be in the interview.
Yeah.
Uber professional. Enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to the Mabel Syndrome Podcast. It is a Saturday, it's a Saturday morning for me, it's an afternoon for the other girls. and I'm really excited to be here because we haven't recorded for a while. And I'm excited as always to chat with my co-Mabel Kristen, but also our awesome guest today. So we're here today with our friend Elena. Hello.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm like so stoked.
How are you today, Kristen?
I'm so excited. We're a big fan of your work. Jess, do you remember, like, how did you first come to know of Elena?
I don't know. I was trying to think about that today when I was prepping for like the interview and questions and stuff. And I was trying to figure it out. And I don't really remember.
Yeah. I know what it was for me, for sure. What? I just thought of it. It was when last year, it was like last year, I guess about a year ago, when Face to Face was doing their Econo Live tour, and there was the t-shirt contest or the poster contest.
Yeah.
And there were like 10 different designs, but there was one that clearly was the best design. Like it just was. And it was weird because there was something wrong with their contest where, I don't know if you guys ran into this, but it wasn't one of the options. Yeah. It was like the cover photo for the, you know, the options, but it wasn't something you could vote for. And I remember emailing the guys in Face to Face and being like, okay, I can't click on this one, but that's the one I want. And being like, that's clearly the winner, but I can't click on it. Why can't I click on it? And you won that contest.
Yeah, it's kind of weird how that even came about because, like, no joke, I think I was up like late one night. I think I had only just moved to like Virginia Beach from like Gulfport, Mississippi. I lived in like the deep south for a number of years. And I recently graduated from school. I went back like a second go around and like studied design and fell in love with it. And I was just like kind of looking for everything and anything to just do. And so I landed on that particular website for, are we allowed to say whatever the website is or is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's Creative Allies. It's just like the site's basically, they kind of host a number of contests for like bigger bands. And, you know, to my knowledge, I had seen like, you know, like 30 Seconds to Mars and like major bands. And then as I was looking through, I saw like Face to Face and I was like, get out of here. Like, there's no, this is so odd. Like, it was so odd in the context of like the contest. And of course I'd been a fan, much like you guys, forever, it seems like, since I was like 16 or something like that. And I was like, you know, I think I'm just going to submit something. And it was awesome. Like, I just started thinking about like my love for their music and the band and everything. And that's kind of how the concept came about. Cause I mean, you know, Jesus, like back in the day, we listened to stuff on like, you know, tapes and whatnot. So yeah. And, but it was really funny. So I submitted and, I like, no joke. I was like, I think on my way to Petco at to pick up dog food and got a message from Trevor on Facebook and asked if we could chat kind of thing about the design. And he said he really dug my work and I just kind of wanted to discuss it further. And they were about to like head out on a tour and was wondering if I might be interested in adapting the design to like a limited edition poster and t-shirt for the Econolive tour. So, I mean, like, no joke, man. I was like dying on the inside because I thought it was like about the coolest thing that could happen to me at that moment. So,
How did you, so you got the idea because like, obviously, we're all older ladies, and we all discovered punk rock on tape. So, and just so people that haven't seen that work that Elena did, it was like, it was all these tapes, like old school tapes, and they were laid out, and I don't know how to describe it. I'm not a design person, but it looked super cool, and I just remember being like, that is the clear winner. Like, that's the coolest design I've ever seen. And so and then I found out it was a girl, and I remember like we had Mabel Syndrome was up and running, and I remember being like, fuck, a girl won that contest. Like, yeah, that makes it totally that much cooler.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I it's so nuts because I think you and I had talked about that, like, how looking back, yeah, the band and of course, like, you know, looking at the scope of their work now, it's like I think I quite possibly am the only woman designer that they've ever worked with. So yeah, that in itself is pretty amazing. But yeah, definitely it was definitely a huge sort of turning point in everything that I'm kind of doing at the moment. So I'm incredibly grateful, one, you know, to the band and Trevor and all of the guys, and and just a massive fan as you know, in addition to that. So it's just super cool all around. Yeah.
So we'll get to all the bands that you're working with right now, but I kind of want to go back because you said you went to school for one thing and then later went back for design.
So originally I'm from Toronto, Canada. And when I graduated high school, I actually went to the Ontario College of Art and Design for photography. And I was kind of an odd duck even in art school because it was a fine arts institution. And everything I've always done creatively has always been centered around music, like every single thing. And so instead of doing sort of like fine art photography, I was like, you know what? Like, I want to shoot bands. I came across, I don't know if you're familiar with his work, but Glenn E. Friedman is a huge, huge influence for me anyway, back in the day when I was doing photography. And he runs something called Burning Flags Press, I think. But if you've ever seen any of like the Lords of Dogtown kind of photography type stuff, yeah. So Beastie Boy, I mean, you name it, any massive band that you could think of, like from the hardcore days in like the 80s of like punk rock, he's probably shot them in some way, shape, or form. And so actually, definitely got in trouble for this, but I actually stole the book from the library, the school library, and like snagged it and like was in love with it. And the opening bit in the book is by Henry Rollins. And his thing was like, you know, referencing like Glenn's work and just saying how he just managed to always capture like that raw, you know, emotion and energy that bands put forth when you're at a show. And to me, that was like such a sentiment to every punk show I'd ever been to, because mm-hmm. that's exactly what it is. It's just pure energy and like everybody's there for the same reason and having an amazing time. And so, yeah. So I was like, I think I mentioned that in a little blurb I sent, like I'm not musically inclined at all, but I like, anybody who knows me can attest to the fact that I'm just absolutely obsessed with music. So
yeah. How did you discover your love of music and specifically punk rock music? Like, when did that happen?
Yeah. How old are you, by the way?
Can I help? I'm 41.
Okay. Holy shit, you're 41.
I am, yeah.
You look like you're 17.
Oh my god. I don't think so.
What is your secret?
Thanks.
That's adorable. Oh, man.
Good genetics, right?
Okay, good. Okay, sorry. Keep going. Tell us why. I had to interrupt with that.
You know what? I mean, not necessarily punk rock, but like my love of music, I definitely credit to my mom, like hands down. Like there was just always music playing in our house. But specifically, I think it was like my 7th or 8th birthday. I had gotten like, you know, a bit of birthday money or something like that. And my mom, and I still have these records, by the way, my mom is so badass. She actually took me to downtown Toronto, and back in the 80s, Yonge Street in Toronto was like the mecca mm-hmm. for like punk rockers and like just anything punk rock related. I mean, that was like the place to be.
Yeah.
And there is a record store called Sam the Record Man that's still there.
Oh my God, yay! And,
do you know it?
Oh yeah, I totally know. I was like, okay. I was like, she's either going to say Sam the Record Man or A&B Sound.
Yeah, yeah, no. So yeah, Sam the Record Man. So my mom took me into this store, and anyway, so I bought like my first two records, which was like Duran Duran and Culture Club, were like the records I bought. But specifically, I remember we were walking down the street, and there was this guy, and he had this massive blue like mohawk, and he was like sporting these like Doc Martens, and I just thought it was like the coolest thing I had ever seen up until that point. And I remember my mom's like kind of like nudging me like, Elena, stop staring. And I'm like, all I could think was like, man, that shit's cool. Like this dude yeah. is awesome. So I didn't know what it was or like what the deal was. But even at that age, I was so just drawn to the aesthetic of it. And, mm-hmm. You know, but my true love, I think, sort of came a little bit later on. Probably I'd say like, you know, early days of high school when I really kind of discovered punk music and that kind of stuff. But yeah, so I think that's my first clear memory anyway.
What was like your punk rock. What was your first punk show you went to?
Oh gosh. Oh my goodness. Well, I went to like a lot of smaller shows, you know, right. like smaller shows, but I think like most people that are like my age, I mean, my first big punk show would have been Green Day, like when they toured for Dookie, and they played it was in Toronto, and they played with the Melvins, and I can't remember the other band, but it was the Melvins and Green Day, and blew my freaking mind, man. I mean, you know, it's a little cliche these days, no. but yeah, man, like they just kind of, they were a huge introduction. And then Face to Face was also a big introduction for me.
People our age often credit Green Day as like one of those first bands that they heard or they saw. And Green Day has this like bad rep for like selling mm-hmm. out or being cliche or being, you know, but I like, for me, like Dookie is still on heavy rotation. I fucking love that album start to finish. It has like really nostalgic yeah. memories for me. And for me, because I grew up in a small town where there was no radio, no, you know, anything like that. So I had an older generation of, you know, punk rockers in my town that sort of taught me, but also like Much Music, and seeing Green Day on Much mm. Music was like the first time I got to visually see punk rock. And like, I was obsessed with Billy Joe. I wanted to marry him. Like I wanted to have his babies when I was like 14 kind of concept. And I don't know. I always have this feeling about Green Day that people shouldn't be embarrassed or like, or, you know, not want to talk about it, because they were a huge deal for those few years for people like us, for me. And like, even when you, yeah. I read Hepatitis Bathtub, the NoFX book, and you know, mm-hmm. There's like a funny story about, didn't they like steal a van and there was a kid sleeping in the back or something, and it was Billy Joe, you know? So I personally yeah. think Green Day deserves a lot of credit and love and props for, you know, opening up a lot of yeah. people's eyes. I was at Bible camp when somebody gave me that tape and I was like, oh my God.
Well, even bands will say that. I mean, bands give them credit all the time. Yeah. You know, like if you're around a band and you're like, oh fuck Green Day or something, they're like, no, like those guys were a huge influence and opened so many doors for other yeah. bands, and they happen to be really cool guys. And like, you might not like, I'm not a huge fan of their newer stuff, and I just don't, you know, I'm just not a fan of it, but like, but you can't disrespect them for the influence they had on the scene. Yeah. And most bands will credit that, and they're not too good to say like, no, their early stuff was really good and opened a lot of doors for yeah. people. So I mean, Green Day was a gateway band for a lot of people. It just was. But Elena, were you also involved in like the local Toronto scene? Did you have friends in bands and stuff?
You know, it's funny because I actually grew up about an hour northeast of Toronto in a podunk town that literally, like, my neighbors were like dairy farmers. So I lived in Toronto till I was about 8, and then my parents kind of just kept moving north, it seemed. And so I landed from like the age of, what was I, like, I guess like 9, until I graduated high school. I lived in this small town. But oddly enough, it had a really cool punk rock scene. Like it was really cool because it was only about an hour outside of the city. So I had a lot of friends in bands and it was oddly enough, there was a really good scene. So I did get to meet a lot of bands. There were a lot of like smaller touring bands that came through that was really typical to like the 90s. But pretty much once I left high school and moved to Toronto, that's when I really sort of got caught up with a lot of the bands that I'm still friends with now that are, you know, still making music, still doing a lot of things and touring. And I'd say that was kind of like one thing.
What specific bands are from Toronto?
I can't think of any. Man, you know, it's funny. Like when I knew, just was like years ago, one band that comes to mind, a few musicians actually, my friend Sean McNabb's in a band called The Creep Show, they're touring right now. So they're like a psychobilly, rockabilly kind of band. A lot of bands back in the day, there was a band called Grade that was like massive in the 90s. That was on Victory Records. I'm like kind of drawing a blank at the moment, but like there was Grade, there was Jersey. Those particular bands, they toured with like Hot Water Music and Avail and like all of those bands like back in the day. It was kind of like that was like the thing, I guess, that I really recall from that time, those kind of bands doing their thing. But if you think of like Toronto bands, like Alexis on Fire is a huge band that's massive. The Cancer Bats, I know Scotty from like back in the day, he plays in the band and they're massive now, which is crazy. A band called Fucked Up, I know Sandy and Ben. Really, we don't keep in touch a whole lot, but I knew them back in the day as well. And just a lot of good Toronto bands. Ben Cook in particular is in No Warning and like Fucked Up and all of those kind of things that he's got going on. So I've known him for a long time as well. I don't know. Yeah. It's kind of a bunch of people.
And then you started doing concert photography?
I did. Yeah. So that sort of circles back to when I was in art school, right? And mm-hmm. So I found that book. Just really was really kind of struggling with trying to find a way to marry like what I was doing at the time, like medium wise, with what I loved, which was music. And so finding that book and realizing that, you know what, music photography could truly be like an art form, which it really is. I mean, especially these days. I mean, there's so many great rock mm-hmm. photographers. So I tried to sort of figure out a way to do that while I was at school. And I actually had gone to, I think it was like, there's a radio station in Toronto called The Edge, like 102 The Edge. And they were doing like a, they were interviewing a band called The Catherine Wheel. They're from the UK, and I was like way into that band, and so stopped in, listened to the interview, and I was with a girlfriend, and I was like, man, it'd be so cool to photograph them tonight, you know, because I was photographing the interview portion of it. And she goes, why don't you just talk to them and ask them, like maybe they'll hook you up. And I was like pretty shy about it, like I just really was, you know, a little weary about doing it. But I did it, and the singer was amazing, and they ended up putting me on the guest list for that night. And that was the first show that I photographed. And it was like, I mean, it was just addictive, like from then on. Like it was just something I fell in love with. And
so then did you get press passes? Did you like have to apply for press passes?
I sure did.
Go in the photo pit area?
I did. So I kind of laugh about it now because sounds so shady, but I mean, I literally used the art school that I was at, I was on my like student union or whatever. So we had access to like publication type stuff. So I utilized that just to get press passes, even though it never.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, did what I had to do. And
I would imagine that you were pretty much the only girl in the.
You know what?
Pit.
Yes, absolutely. Like it was a very strange experience, like just from the get go. Because I mean, you know, I was much younger back then, and. It was nothing but guys a lot of the time. And oddly enough, a lot of the times, you know, if I'd get a press or review pass, I mean, I'd be at a show, and more than not, I was sort of, you know, mistaken for being, you know, quote unquote, like a groupie, or like mm-hmm. there to kind of just hook up with the band, or, you know, like I wasn't viewed as like a peer or somebody that was there working, you know, and I always kind of took offense to that.
Of course, like, no, we still
do. You know? Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have anyone, like, do you remember a particularly, like, rude person or bad experience that you had?
You know,
not their name, but yeah, I mean, just, no,
of course. I mean, it was, it's usually like if, you know, well, I was shooting, I guess, like the actual show, that wasn't an issue because, I mean, really, you're shooting like the first three songs and then you're done, right? But it would be, right. You know, usually like interview portions. So if I was there with like another person, you know, reviewing for, you know, a magazine, paper, whatever it was, it's just like I just almost wasn't taken seriously, you know, at the time. But I think that's what's interesting now, I guess, like in the work that I'm doing now, because I feel like that just doesn't really apply at this point for me. And I don't know if it's just based on, you know, those years of experience and maybe how I carry myself based on those types of things. And I don't know if you ladies feel that way, like when you're dealing with bands, and because you're both really cute, right? Like you're these cute girls and, you know, you're going to shows and stuff like that. Like, what is it like for you guys, you know?
Well, for me, I think, like, I never would have done it in my 20s. I didn't have the guts to do it. I was way too shy. And now, going to shows, I think I carry myself a lot differently than I would have then. So now I carry myself in a way that's like, I'm here to do business. Like, take me seriously or else I'm out. Like, that's just, you know, I don't take any shit.
That's how you generally, like,
I don't know. I think that's what happens when you turn 40.
You carry yourself that way with everything, Kristen. That's just your, that's just who you are. I don't feel that way. Like, when I go into it, and obviously Kristen does a lot more than I do in interviews because I'm in the middle of nowhere now, but like, I don't know, with all of those kinds of things, I feel, I'm way more terrified. I'm way, way more scared. I'm way more embarrassed. And I just sort of have to, like, I don't know. Kristen and I have such different approaches to things. Like, I'm like this self-deprecating, goofy, like, dummy. And Kristen is like, all business, super prepared. We have such a different approach to it. But I always go into stuff hoping, like, is that your dog?
No, man, that's like neighbor's dog. That's like really loud.
I always go into it and I'm like, how would Kristen do this? How would Kristen do this? And I'm like, she's my motivation. And you know, like when you say, like, what's your experience with it and like being a female, for me, it's I feel like I project a lot of it onto myself. Like, I think it's a lot better than it used to be, but I go into it feeling already like with my backup. Like, I already, like, I go into it being like, somebody's thinking this about me, and there's this stereotype and that's not me, and I kind of feel like this, but maybe it's not like that. Maybe, yeah, I'm already defensive. So,
but then we've had this talk too, Jess, where you kind of like try to counteract that by smiling. And Jess and I literally had this conversation. I was like, do not smile at men. You do not have to smile at them. Do not, like, look them in the eye and walk right past them, but do not smile at them.
It's so true.
That's so funny.
We've had this conversation, you know, like,
oh my gosh. So, well, it's interesting because, like, I think what I've come to discover, like, more than anything, especially lately, is just like, it doesn't really, gender really doesn't play into it.
Nope.
Like, at this point, like, for me anyway, like, it's totally like I said, it's almost like back in the day when you're at a show, it's like everyone's kind of on the same page. And I think the love of, like, that actual thing, which is music, is, it sort of overpowers and overrules everything. And I mean, if you can get,
although,
go ahead.
Oh, well, I was just going to say, so, like, I've had such great experiences lately, and Jessica's had awesome experiences. Mm-hmm. So I won't say the person or the band, but just last night, someone went to interview a band for us, and the person was so creepy and rude that we are not even going to use the interview, and we're not even going to promote
the band. Whoa, I don't know about this. I haven't been updated on this.
I know.
Facebook messaged me right now.
It still happens. I will tell you later. You're always MIA. I can't tell you shit. But, like, yeah, so even though, like, we can have all these good experiences, but the second if someone's going to be fucking weird,
we're done.
Then we're like, they're cut off. Like, we're done. So it still happens. Like, it's few and far between, and we're so much better off and luckier and supported and respected than women were in the scene 10 or 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it still happens.
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, like, so, I mean, I'm sure you guys listen to Against Me. Yeah. Big fan. Mm-hmm. Well, like, I would say, like, they're top of the tier for me, like, as far as bands that, like, I'm incredibly, like, just into. And I was sort of thinking about an interview that I'd seen Laura Jane Grace do. And, you know, obviously she's a trans woman and, you know, she's kind of seen both sides of it. And it's so interesting to just, you know, hear perspective on, yes, like how things like that are still really prevalent. I don't know, man. I mean, like, just personally, I haven't experienced that as of late, but that's really sad. That's sad and unfortunate, like, that happened, for one. But But I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I mean, if a band's just going to be douchey as a whole, like, no one's really going to want to have anything to do with them anyway, you know, good or bad. Or it's weird. I don't know, man. Like, when I was little, like, I've always been a bit of a tomboy. So, like, a lot of my friends were boys when I was younger. And I don't know. Like, so I don't. And again, like, my mom, like, truly, like, she's such a badass, right? Like, my mom is really the type of woman that was, I mean, she's in her 70s, like, the generational gap is, like, kind of big because she was born in the 40s. But considering that, I mean, she raised me to just be really strong and independent. And, you know, she'd often tell me, she's like, man, she's like, anything a man can do, you know, so can you, you know. And it was like that kind of attitude. That's awesome. And so I was just talking about this yesterday, even, like, I don't think I ever grew up with the notion of, like, I can't do that because I'm a woman. I was like, I can do that because I want to do it. Like, that was kind of the headspace that I've always sort of been in. But then periodically, you know, when I'm in certain, you know, situations, I would often recognize in those moments, like, yeah, man, like, I'm a chick and this is not the norm. But, but I think that's the thing. I think that's important too. Like, it's an important thing to, it's good that you guys are, like, you know, raising, because you have daughters too. Kristen, Jessica, both of you?
No, boys. Okay.
Yeah, I have a little boy.
But you have to raise them carefully too. You have to raise them to be respectful of girls. And so my son just went on a play date with a girl the other day, and I had a talk with him, like, girls play differently than boys. You don't touch girls, because my two boys are pretty close in age, so they wrestle and touch each other all the time. They're like fucking puppy dogs, I call them, because they're just always touching and yelling. And so I had to have this talk with him about, you're going on a play date with a girl to her house, here's what you do, here's what you don't do, and you treat, you know, with you treat her with respect. And my boys are such mama's boys, and I you know, I don't know, I love them and cuddle them and teach them how to be respectful of women. So it's a whole, you know, it's the same challenge raising boys is you know, as it is to raise strong, confident women.
And
you know,
side note, Kristen's boys are amazing. They're the sweetest, most kindest, loving little boys. I love them. I love them.
Thank you. They're a handful, but they're fun. You're a mom,
too. I am. Yeah, I've got a little boy. He's 9 years old.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's a rad little dude. Like, and he likes punk music too, which I'm so stoked on. So
Has he gone to a show
yet? Yeah, I kind of, it's funny that you bring that up, because I talked to him maybe like a few weeks ago, and I was like, buddy, I was like, we're going to go see a show this summer. And he's really awesome about it. Like, I think I'm going to take him probably to like a festival, like outdoor type thing. Cause a lot of the, you know, a lot of the shows that we probably go to, and I'm sure you can attest to this, are still a little bit nutty for like his age range. But I mean, and kudos to the parents.
And they're just playing late. They're late on a Tuesday, and it's like, I'm not going to take my kid to like a show at midnight on a Tuesday.
Well, there's that too. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm dying to take Marlo to a show in Canada. See, it's different because in Canada, we don't have all ages shows. Like, it's very, very, very rare. Like, really? I haven't been to an all ages show since, I think the last all ages show that I went to here was probably, it was the face to face farewell tour when they broke up, and it was all ages. Man. And that was I think that's the only one I've ever been to other than a festival. So like, the next time that I get the opportunity to go to see a face to face show and I can take Marlo, I will absolutely do it. Because I envy all these.
You'll have to drive to Seattle or something.
Oh, I want to. Kristen, fly to Seattle.
I will. We'll go to. We'll
Speaking
go to
of which,
show.
The
that would be fun.
Okay, sorry, I was just gonna face to face ramble. Go ahead. No.
No.
Oh, please do.
I was.
Face
I just
to
had
face a, ramble. On I just had. A, pod, I just had a on the face to face podcast today. Jessica's gonna talk about what?
Here's the thing. I was listening. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I have noticed that every podcast I listen to, they always. The people that are hosting the podcast have an obsession about another thing, and they always talk about, like, I listen to Dax Shepard's podcast. It's called Armchair Expert. And every single podcast, they talk about Sam Harris, who runs another podcast. And they every single episode, they joke about how they always talk about Sam Harris. And it happens all the time. So I was like, when I heard that the other day, I was like, yeah, okay, I feel better. It's like the Mabel Syndrome / Bad Cop, Bad Cop / Face-to-Face podcast.
Yeah, that's like our recurring theme. That's our joke, our like right? go-to safety
it is
joke.
Or it's yeah, also man. Like no, but we don't have anything else to talk about. What's face-to-face up to?
Face-to-face. There's always something.
It's so funny. Anybody who knows me, I'm just as bad about Against Me, like, no joke. Like, I have such like a love for the band, and I've met Laura Jane Grace, like, not that she'd even remember this, but like, I've met her a handful of times, and like, to say that the band as a whole aren't probably like the coolest, most humblest people I've ever met. I mean, considering like the level of, you know, success that they've achieved and things yeah. like that. And yeah, man.
Tell us a Laura
oh
Jane.
Oh my
Grace.
God, that's yeah. pretty. I don't think, I think I would lose my shit if I met her. I would be just
yeah,
so.
She, listen.
Yeah, me too.
That's why I want to hear.
What was the first time? So I think that's what it was. A girlfriend of mine, we went, they were playing, like Against Me was playing in Birmingham, Alabama, at a venue called the Saturn, and Saturn Club, I think. And it literally is the size of my living room. Like, it was so small. And so we drove like 4.5 hours to go see them. And like, it was the type of show where the band literally was like loading and unloading their own gear. Like, there was one guitar tech. I mean, it was just so small. There was no, like, barrier. There's no security. Like, I mean, I was, like, right up against the stage. Like, you would have been at a show, like, a basement show or something. Like, it was amazing. And so the band kind of hung out after the show. And I was, like, chatting with, you know, the other band members and things like that. And there was this massive crowd around Laura. And so I kind of hung back for a bit, and I went up and just kind of introduced myself and said, hey, like, so good to meet you. The show was amazing. On the inside, it was like screaming excited. Like, I was super yeah. pumped to meet her. And and my friend, when I kind of like went back over to my friend, she's like, what's wrong with you? Like, what happened? I was like, what are you talking about? Because I thought I handled it pretty cool, which I obviously mm-hmm. did not. And and she's like, you were so like cool about stuff. And then like, you went up and talked to Laura Jane Grace, and like, you were just acting like you were 12. And I was like, because I felt that way. Like, I was so excited. But so she was super cool. So like, that was the first time I had ever met the band or her. And then I think like a number of months later, they played in Atlanta, and I hiked it again to like out to go see a show. And that was the Vox Populi tour. I think that's how you pronounce it, the Vox Populi tour, with Bad Religion, Dave Haas, Against Me was playing, and I guess, you know, some other local bands or whatever. And I think you may have seen it, maybe if you've looked at my work, but I did up, it was like an art poster. It was like one of the first things that I kind of put together, and just decided to do one for that show, and printed them off, and ended up going to the show. And she oddly enough, she follows me on Twitter. I have no idea how that happened.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, right? Like, a billion people follow her, and like, she follows like 1,000 people, and I just happen to be one of them. So super random. Yeah, super random. So I had kind of like corresponded briefly and was like, hey, like, I'm gonna be in Atlanta. It'd be really awesome to kind of meet up and just like give you the posters or whatever. And like, no shit, man, like, we as like me and my girlfriends, we got to the show, and she was hanging out back, you know, around the loading dock kind of area, and came down and was like, hey, like, how's it going? And just kind of had this interaction and chat, and she was really gracious, took the posters, and I was so cheesy. I was like, do you think maybe you guys could sign one of them for me, kind of thing? And she's like, yeah, man. She's like, let me take them. And she's like, I'll see you after the show. And I was like, okay, sure, like, cool. Let me preface this by saying, like, my friend Jan, who doesn't even listen to the band, was like, like ridiculous. Like she's like, "Hey, Laura Jane Grace," like just kind of like all up in her business, and like my friend Helena here wants to like she'd love to design for you and this and that and the other. And I'm like, I was dying. I was like, oh my god, like just stop talking already.
Those are
like,
the best kinds of friends, right? Those are the best kinds of friends.
Well.
It is.
You know what? And truly they are, because like after Laura left and went back into the venue, I kind of like had a moment where I was like, well, how the hell am I going to kind of meet up with her? Cause like, I don't really know her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so my girlfriends, like no joke, I don't even know how they did it, but they ended up getting in touch with her tour manager. And so we all met up like after the show. I had no part of this. I was just like completely like, we just need to go. Like, this is crazy. Like, you guys are nuts. Like, what are you doing? And yeah, so we ended up meeting up like after the show and we chatted a bit longer, and she's incredibly gracious is all I can say. Like, she's just super cool and really just like all about the fans. And yeah, she's just a total badass. I mean, you guys know, like, she's just, you know, above and beyond like music. Yeah. I mean, just her as a person, like such a badass
and trailblazer. So smart. She's so smart too.
God, like, yeah. She's really zen, man. Like, if you ever get the chance to meet her, like, she's like, it's so, I can't even express, like, obviously, like, you guys have met, like, Trevor and the guys and things like that. You guys are big fans, right? And, you know, certain people have, like, a certain presence. Like, she, like, has this crazy energy to her that, like, fills a space. Mm. So, it's just, like.
I love people's energy.
Yeah,
man.
Like, she, yeah. Like, yeah. And she's just, like. Yeah, I can't even say it any other way. Like, she just has a really good energy and presence to her. And the band as a whole, like Adam and, you know, James and Inge is just like this crazy, you know, Swede. But he's, yeah, they're all cool. They're all very, very cool. So,
And how did you decide to go into graphic design?
I dabbled with design for like friends and just like really basic stuff, you know, and I was like, maybe I'll do that. Everything kind of came full circle. So it was like photography and design and music, and everything just kind of like is it now for me. And anything that I ever did with bands and photography lends itself to what I'm doing design wise, and the bands that I'd met over time are still bands, you know, and so I've kind of reached out, or I'm doing things in that realm, just designing instead of photographing. So, yeah.
So name the other bands that you've done work
for. As of late, so I've worked with Ryan from Off With Their Heads, Joe, and forgive me, Joe, if you're ever listening to this, but I think it's McMahon. He was in Smoker Fire, but he does like solo project, and so he's actually living overseas right now. So he sort of tours and plays with a lot of other bands. But Joe and Face to Face obviously is like a massive part of what I've been doing over the last year and a half. And then most recently, The Last Gang, who just got signed to Fat Records. I'm going to be doing some stuff for them. And, yeah, well, they're pretty amazing. And actually, I was put in touch with them through Billy Skelly, who's a photographer, and I met him as part of the show that I took part in LA. And he's a rad dude. I mean, there's so many.
He's a good friend of ours too.
Yeah. I can't even say enough nice things about him. But he is just so badass. And I was really like stoked to meet him when I was out in LA, because we had chatted beforehand, you know, on Facebook and stuff. But yeah, so he put me in touch with them, and so I'll be doing some work for them. And they're, of course,
like t-shirt design,
t-shirt designs for them. Nice. Yeah, and so they're going to be doing the Punk and Drublic tour. Yeah, so they're out on that.
Yeah.
So I'll get to see them and hang, hopefully, when they're in Richmond, because they're doing a stop here in Virginia.
Yeah, they're not doing the Massachusetts date, which I'm super bummed about. I'm hoping like they just continue on and somehow show up.
Right?
But as of now, they're not doing the Massachusetts date, which I'm really bummed about. I'll have to like maybe Billy, because Billy's going to be touring with them for Punk and Drublic, photographing them. So if there's going to be a special shirt, maybe I can ask Billy to snag
me one. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I'll see if I can't hook you up too, man.
Because I love your designs, and I just got the face-to-face shirt, which is like two hands and this and a bird, one bird, two birds.
That's my favorite.
But it's so It's my favorite too. Nice. And it's my favorite shirt. And I finally learned my lesson about getting bigger shirts, because for a while I was like, no, I want them small and fitting and whatever. And then my boobs, like, they're just like, they just stretch out the logo, and like, you can't even, so it's like big boob girl problems. Amen, so sister. I'm finally like learning, like, just get a big shirt and then cut it, or like shrink, you know, cause that shrinks anyway. So it's going to be my all-time favorite, like, go-to. I'm going to wear it all the time. Oh,
thank you so much. Yeah, you know, one of the coolest compliments I got, that when I met the band after I designed for the Econolive tour, Scott was so friggin', he's funny anyway, but he was really, really sweet and kind when I met them before the show started. And he goes, you know, he's like, of course, like, they've got tons of band merch and things like that. But he said to me, he goes, you know, I never ever take any of our shirts. I never wear them or anything like that. He's like, but that one, he's like, I fucking loved it. He's like, I snagged one up, and I've seen him, you know, on Instagram and stuff, like, he's been wearing it and things like that. So that in itself, but yeah, meeting, you know, like, for lack of a better word, I mean, I've been really lucky over the last like year and a half while I've been pursuing design to meet kind of some of my, like, my musical heroes. And, man,
how did you get to work with Ryan Young? Because he's a personal favorite of mine and that band and stuff. So how did you get to work with him?
Yeah, to preface that too, Ryan's like fucking hilarious, and like, just he's a stand-up dude. Like, I mean, I've been a fan of Off With Their Heads for a long time as well. And so, you know, it's interesting. I feel like, you know, in addition to doing design, I mean, I'm trying to, like, you know, really grow my business, right? So you kind of have to be, you know, mindful of, you know, promoting and reaching out and utilizing like certain tools. And so to me, I think, not to sound all hokey, but social media is like seriously underutilized. I mean, if you think about it, you and I met, you know, like, we all met on social media. And the same is true for Ryan. Like, I think I sent him a friend request because we had mutual friends on Facebook. And I just, I'm really inclined to just actually message people and say, hey, thanks, you know, for accepting the friend request. You know, but not like cheesy and like, hey, I'm a big fan of your music, but it's like, you know, from one artist to another, like, I really dig what you do, man. Like, you do good stuff. And he also runs a company, a print shop. I'm sure you guys know that. But anyway, I reached out to him and we kind of chatted back and forth for a good bit. And he just kind of hit me up and asked me to design a shirt for the band. Cause it was like this kind of, it was, again, I mean, just super, it's super weird and crazy, like, to be working with bands that I've listened to for a long time. But yeah, but he's super cool. Like, just really gracious and cool about it. And, the back and forth for that project was pretty funny, because the whole concept was based on him referring to the band as the legendary, Off With Their Heads. You know, so the initial discussion was basically like, hey, like, you know, we want the shirt that kind of is like, you know, a little like, you know, cheesy, but like trying to be serious, and sort of like, that was kind of the root of like the concept of how I came to the concept. And, yeah, but it was a real pleasure to work with him. And, we still message back and forth occasionally. And, things like that. I know that he, in particular, like, outside of music, they're super busy right now printing up tour shirts for Against Me, who's going to be out on tour really soon. And so, yeah, he seems like he's always doing something. But yeah, so he's a good dude. Why haven't you guys had them on the show? Is it just you haven't been?
We've tried. No, I've tried several times. So his band came acoustic and with his band like three times to Boston last year, and every single time we would have it set up, and then he loses his voice at the end of every show. Like, he sings so, like, he gives every show so much that at the end he's like, I wanted to do the interview, but I can't talk.
Totally.
Right?
And I'm like, okay. At first I thought he was like fucking with me or something, but I'm like, legit, you can't talk after a show. And then we were going to do it before a show, and he texted me and he's like, I got last minute Celtics tickets, so I'm going to the Celtics game. And I was like, cool, dude, go to the Celtics game. That's way more fun than doing an interview with me.
Gosh, no.
And then, so it's just like one of these things, like, we just keep kind of missing each other. But but I can, like, but then we did hang out one night, and yeah, he's funny and humble and sweet. And I was just like, I adore him and the band. And so we will have him on. I'm going to hound him to death. I know Renee's, his girlfriend's mom just passed away. And I think he was really close with her too. Mm. So I was kind of giving him some space for a little bit, but I will definitely be the squeaky wheel and be hitting him up again.
Yeah, I can see him being an amazing guest for you guys. Like,
he's on the bucket list.
Like, I feel like we could talk to you for hours, but we're going to let you pick the song for the end of this episode. So what do you, like, if you could pick any song, what would you pick?
Are you kidding? Yeah. Oh my gosh.
We haven't played an Against Me song.
Oh, then you have to. I would say, all right, that's such a hard one. You know what? If you guys play one song, We Laugh at Danger and Break All the Rules would be like one of my like all-time faves.
Awesome.
Against Me.
Yeah, we've never finished a show with an Against Me song.
Thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you, girls. It was such a pleasure.
It was awesome getting to talk to you. Thank you so much.
You too. You too.
It was about the gift of a Mexican salad.